Have your Bibles, you may be turning to Matthew chapter 27. We'll be reading verses 27 through 31. Matthew chapter 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him, took the reed, and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. For tonight's lesson, I want us to focus our attention on verse 29. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They crowned our Savior that day with a crown of thorns. They bowed down before him in mockery for the purpose of dishonoring him and disgracing him. You know, the crown, it is a symbol of kingship, of dignity, and of royalty. King Jesus, and we call him our King. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But they meant no honor to him. As king, they meant only to dishonor him. You know, a crown symbolizes rule and authority. Jesus is Lord. We know that. But yet he was not Lord that day in their eyes. It was a mockery that they were putting on that day. Waving a crown means victory. All victory goes to Jesus. We sing the song, "Faith is the victory." Yet, in their eyes, Jesus was not victorious that day. To them, he had been defeated. If you were to ask one of the Jews or one of the Roman soldiers in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago how they would crown the Christ, they would say, with a crown of thorns. They did not honor him as God's Son. They did not honor him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They did so with thorns. What I want to do tonight is crown the Christ. Not in the way that the soldiers did it here on this day, but I want to talk about four things that we can do that will literally crown Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Not irreverently, not in a mocking way, but in a godly way. Acknowledging Him as our Lord and as our King. First of all, I want to suggest to you that we can crown the Christ by living godly lives. You know, Jesus took a stand against ungodliness, and they killed him for it. Early Christians took a stand against ungodliness, and they also suffered great persecution and even death as a result of their stand for godliness. But the Apostle Paul says that, you know, all of this persecution, all of this ill will, that is placed against the Christian, it's all worth it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, Paul said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And basically what Paul is telling us is it really doesn't matter what great length of persecution you suffer as a Christian. how bad life becomes for you because you are a follower of the Lord. Paul said it's going to be worth it. And these times of persecution and grief are insignificant when you compare it to the glory that we will receive when Christ comes again. And today we are expected to take that same stand against ungodliness. Rather than being ungodly people, we are to be godly in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of everyone. You know, we should live a pure life. And you know, people take note of purity. They can tell when there is something different about you, different about your mannerisms, different about your actions in life. People see that. We are to be holy, which means we are to be different from the world. And again, the world can see the difference within us. We are to be righteous, and we are to be just with our fellow man, showing love toward all men. We can go back and we can read the first books of the New Testament, the Gospels, and we see that this is exactly the way Jesus was. He lived that pure, that holy, that righteous, that just, that loving life. And everyone knew it. That's why he had so many followers, because they wanted to be like him. And at the same time, that's why he had that many enemies, because they couldn't understand it. So we follow him. We are Christians. We are Christ-like in our lives. We follow his example. A God-centered, a Christ-centered life. And if we will do that, then we will be crowning the Christ. We can crown the Christ by being a willing servant. We do indeed serve the greatest king, King Jesus. And even though the Roman soldiers were trying to dishonor Jesus by bowing before him in mockery, you know, they were actually being truthful and didn't know it. When they bowed down before Jesus on the cross to laugh at him and to scoff him and to make fun of him, they were actually doing what we are to do in our lives today, to bow down before our King and honor him with our love and with our devotion. For Jesus is the King of Kings. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, John writes, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." This is the Lord that we serve. This is the King that we bow down before. He is the King of Kings. Paul said he is the Lord of Lords. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. "Which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And we should be his willing servant. You know, Jesus told a story in Matthew 25 about three servants, the men with the talents. One he gave five, one he gave two, one he gave one talent. And when the story was all told, the king was well pleased. He was proud of two of his servants because they had done well. And yet he was displeased with the other. And we are like those three men. We are servants of the King of Kings. Now the question is, will he be proud of you as his servant, or will he be displeased? We show our love to our King Jesus by serving him and working for him. We can crown the Christ by bringing all that we have to the King. I don't have to tell you that today we live in a covetous world. And covetousness is a killer in the world today. It is a killer in the church today. Today the world cries, "Mine, mine." It's my money. I've worked hard for it. It's my possessions, my goods. I've earned it. And you hear that day in and day out, inside and outside of the church. Jesus tells the story of the rich farmer. And this is exactly what he did. He tore down his barns and he built greater barns and he stored all of his goods and he announced to everyone, "Mine, mine, I'm going to keep it." And he pat himself on the back. "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look at what I have accomplished. Look what I have done. Look what I have. And it's all mine." The first century church left an example of bringing to the kingdom, bringing to the Lord, not keeping it to yourselves. In Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 43, after this great day on Pentecost, it says that fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. They learned how to share. They learned how to work together. They learned how to give to the Lord. They learned how to give. And then in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 34, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need." You see, some people have a lot of money. Some people have a lot of talents. Some people have great ability. And all of this is to be used for the kingdom, to serve the king. We must be willing to give to the king. We crown the Christ by professing him to be king of our daily life. We know that Jesus has all authority. He told us this right before he left the earth. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then he tells us something else. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Jesus is telling us that we crown him by serving him every day. We all came here today to honor him with our worship. We all came here today to bring him glory and to acknowledge him as our King and our Savior. How many of us will go home and not think about him again until next week? How many of us will go home and we won't open his book? We won't let it lead us and guide us throughout our week. Instead, we'll use our own wit and our own intelligence to live the way we want to live and not the way Christ would have us to live. See, it's not enough to be a Christian here. We've got to take it outside of these walls. We've got to take our Christianity home. We've got to take our Christianity to work. We have to take it to school. We have to take it everywhere that we go. Because Christ expects us to follow him, and he expects to be our king everywhere, not just in certain places. He has the right to make rules for us to live by. And he has the right to expect us to live by them. Jesus was preached to mankind as the ruler of all. He was preached to mankind as the king. Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know that assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he is the one that is crowned. And he is the one that is to be served. And he is the one that is to be followed in life." I want to ask you tonight, are you crowning the Christ? Think about that for a minute. And you may think, oh yes, well I'm here and I crown the Christ while I'm here. Will you crown the Christ tomorrow? Will you crown the Christ in the middle of the week? Will you go through the weekend crowning the Christ? You see, that's what the Christian does. He always crowns the Christ. Not in the way that the soldiers did, but by the way you live for Him. Do you crown Him by giving Him your godly life? Do you crown Him by being a willing servant, accepting the fact that you should live under His rule? Do you crown Him by bringing what you have to the kingdom so that the kingdom does not lack? Do you crown Him by professing Him as your King, not just today, but every day? Be sure that you are crowning Him with your Christianity. There may be someone here tonight who has not crowned the Christ in their lives. It may be that you have never obeyed the gospel. Jesus is not yours and you are not His because you're not a part of Him. You can obey His word tonight through faith, repentance of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being baptized for the remission of your sins. And my friends, at that point in time, you will crown the Christ. And then you can live for Him and follow Him. And you can make Him the greatest part of your life. There may be someone here tonight who has crowned Him in obeying Him in baptism, but you've taken off the crown. You no longer observe crowning the Christ. You need to make amends in your life. Repent of your sins. Come back to the Lord. He will forgive you. And you can crown the Christ once again. My friends, it's the most important thing that we will do as His children. To crown Him as Lord and King. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.